This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you here on a Wednesday SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You know, it feels like the month of December is just cooking by. It feels like it's just flying. For me, anyway, it feels like it's flying. You don't even realize. I totally forgot next week is the holidays. I'm just moving along. So maybe were not aware that the college bowl season is creeping up fast. Friday, there are two games on the schedule, and there's going to be a whole bunch of bowl fun for the remainder of the month into January. This Friday, you have the Makers Wanted Bahamas Bowl between Buffalo and Charlotte. That game played in Nassau. And then there's the Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl in Frisco, Texas, between Utah State and Kent State. That at Toyota Stadium. These bowls are going to be plentiful, and they're going to go through the entire month. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to repeat what I've been saying all along. Nobody forces you to watch bowl games. Nobody asks you to. And nobody demands that you do it. You're not more of a sports fan if you do, and you're not less of a sports fan if you don't. Some people, they love it. They just have it on. They love games. They don't even care if they've never seen Utah State ever play a game. These games are constantly on through the month of December for the rest of through the holidays. And others ignore them until the big ones. They watch the Rose Bowl. They watch the semifinals. They may watch the Outback Bowl or whatever. But they don't watch any of these smaller ones. When you tell me that there are too many bowl games, give me a reasonable amount of bowl games that would be acceptable to you. Otherwise, just let this just be what it's supposed to be, a money-making venture for the people who run this and for the schools, a chance to continue their program through another month of practice and actually playing a game. It may be meaningless to you, but for the coach of the Charlotte 49ers, it's a big deal because his team is not a regular bowl participant and they get to do something and they get to go somewhere and they get to have a nice team building moment while they continue to practice getting ready for next year and their game against Buffalo. Yeah, there's a lot. And they all sound crazy and they all sound a little too much. But in the end, what it is. It's a reward for a good season. 6-6 to 7-5. Two games on Friday and then it really all begins. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
For joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as we continue along on a Wednesday. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. So did you see this news after the Army-Navy game over the weekend that Trump was going to sort of extend the waiver that allowed military academy athletes to go pro and defer their military obligations so that they can play professional sports?
Is he just trying to make Army and Navy relevant in the national championship conversation
again? I kind of thought they did this already. I'm not as familiar with this. I mean, when I was at Air Force, there was a player named Chad Hall, and he was able to go. I thought they did this under Barack Obama. I thought there was an extension already. I wasn't sure what exactly he's doing. Like, I thought this was already in place. Maybe it was taken back and it was in place or whatnot.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. I mean, because I just know. I mean, traditionally what it is, to say you spend 4 years in Army or 4 years in Navy, then you got to go serve.
Yeah, you got to go serve. That's part of the deal.
And you normally got to serve for like 2 years, right?
Yeah.
It's not a long time. It's not like you go
to the academy. When you go to the academy, you're training to be a kind of a leader of men, right? I mean, you're going to be an officer. So you go to the academy for a number of years.
And a gentleman.
But they have allowed, I mean, certain players, you know, David Robinson was one, Roger Staubach was one who had to kind of serve out and then they go on to the pros.
Yeah.
Keenan Reynolds, a Navy quarterback, remember him? He was drafted by the Ravens.
What about your guy in Steelers? He's like 10 feet tall.
Villanueva?
Villanueva.
Yeah, Villanueva.
Yeah, I don't know. Where do you go? Army? All right.
I think it was Army. Was he Army?
Yeah. But I kind of got mixed things on this. I think this is a good deal for the players. If you're talented enough to be an NFL-level player or an NBA-level player, and you've chosen the Air Force or the Army or Navy to play your collegiate ball, and you're good enough to go to the next level, there probably should be. There's probably a good recruiting tool that they can utilize you in. You're still going to serve. You're still going to do your thing. You're not exempt from it. You don't get to go to these academies for nothing and then come out and then make money in the pros and then not fulfill your duty to the deal that you agreed to when you went to the academy in the first place. But at the same time, what if MIT wanted to snag one of the Army's top engineers, right? And, you know, or if you're a kid and you're working in chemistry and or whatever it is at the academy, something that the academy is going to use, but some private venture wants to use even more. Is there a level of fairness here for those non-athletes that are also brilliant in their own field that could be better utilized in the private sector? Because I want this to be not just a celebration of athletics, but a celebration of the minds that are at the academies. I mean, if you're working in the military at the academy and you're excelling at space engineering, yeah, the military definitely is going to use that ability and talent. But what if you could work for Elon Musk instead and make a bunch of money? Isn't it the kind of the same thing? Because overall, the deal is if you go to one of these service academies, you're going for nothing. But the deal is you're going to pay that in some service afterwards. So you need a congressional appointment. Because my son was thinking about going to the Air Force Academy, and there was a list. And when he was talking to the guy, he had to get with his local congresswoman or senator in this case here in Tennessee and get a recommendation, and then it's got to be a congressional approval, and then you go to the service academies. And then you do what you got to. You're there for 4 years, and then you're off until you then fulfill your obligation. But I think it's great because having worked with the Air Force Academy, I didn't work with a lot of kids that had NFL potential. I mean, but we had one that in Chad Hall that ended up playing in the NFL for a brief period of time. But it's a great recruiting tool. I dealt with Chad Henning, the former Dallas Cowboy player that was an Air Force grad. And that they utilize Chad Henning a lot in talking about the education of the Air Force, an Air Force Academy life, an Air Force Academy, education of what you can do when you leave. You serve your time and you can go off and you're going to have a stellar education that will allow you to pursue all of these different levels of degrees. Fisher DeBerry, who was the longtime coach at Air Force, used to promote the fact when he would recruit kids to play football, he would say, look, you can come to Air Force, you can play football for us. Then afterwards, back in the day when airline pilots made a boatload of money because you can fly commercial jets and have a really good living that way. That was the big appeal. But you're not getting the guys that are normally going to be going off to the NFL. Those who have criticized this, who said, well, what's the point of a service academy education if you're just going to go right on to the private sector? I think there's a point that's missing here. One, they're not foregoing their obligation to that portion of the military obligation that they have, whether it's Army, Navy, or Air Force. Two, we're not talking about a ton of kids here. We're not talking about 7, 8, 9 a year. We're talking about a very, very few that pop up every now and then that have that level. The guys that really have NFL level are not playing at these service academies. They're going to play at Georgia. They're going to play at other places where they can get out after 3 years and go. You can't do that in this service academy. You stay until the education's done, then you go. Now, this might open the door for more NFL quality players to choose the service academies to say, look, if I know I can go to the NFL, if I can make the NFL, I may choose a life in the military because it does offer a different kind of education. It does offer a different kind of experience. It is something that's true to my heart or it's true to my family or whatever it is that, you know, whatever it is may be. But I know in high school, I do have this level of talent that could take me professionally. I just ignored those because I didn't think I could pursue it professionally, and now you can. Now you can. And it would be good for the academies together. I mean, we celebrate Army-Navy every year, but don't we celebrate Army-Navy because we know for a lot of those kids, for most of those kids, if not all of those kids that are seniors, this is the last time they'll play football, right? But occasionally they don't. Occasionally they pop up and they go off and they go to the NFL every now and then. But it's not like there's going to be 25 a year that's going to be moving on from these things to the level in college basketball and NFL. Yeah,
they're not pumping them out like Alabama is or Clemson or Ohio State, where you know those schools are almost become football factories.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one time I heard when I was at Air Force, Colorado Springs, covering Air Force. I remember I heard this, and I never found out if it was true, and I kind of believe it was like a you know when somebody tells you, like when you know how you trick kids, and you tell them like, oh yeah, you know, acorns are squirrel poop, and they're like, what? And they're like, yeah, it's squirrel poop, and you're like, oh, I didn't know that, and they believe that even though you're just kind of messing with them. I didn't know if people were messing with me when I first got to Colorado Springs, because I noticed like the basketball rosters, I was like, there was nobody over like 6'6". On the basketball roster, like six. And I said, I remember going, well, this is kind of a small lineup. And somebody said, yeah, they don't recruit tall kids because they don't fit in the cockpit of the planes.
Yes.
And I bought that for a long time. I don't know. Is that true? I never asked because I was too embarrassed to ask whether that was true or not. I just sort of accepted it.
I know for a fact that there is a height requirement.
Right. So you can't have a 7'2 guy like. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar couldn't be a cock. He was an airplane. That's a bad example because he was in a movie where he was a pilot.
No, he can fly a commercial. He just
right,
can't
but
fly,
he can't fly in a cockpit.
Yeah, he can't fly a military jet.
Can they fly a commercial? That seems really tight. You ever look up at the front and go, those are really tight quarters.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could ever get into one of those seats.
I don't know. Those look small to me.
Because when you look at the seat, you got to step over a bunch of buttons.
I know
I'm kicking.
I'm bumping a bunch of them.
I'm hitting one of the sticks or whatever. All of a sudden, you know, if it's me climbing into the cockpit chair, the engine will fall off. I'll hit the release button for somehow.
You know what would be funny if you talk to an airline pilot and they go, hey, let me show you something. You see this whole cockpit? All of this is garbage. None of this means it. They're just blinking lights like a Christmas tree. The only thing I need is that, and that. Those are the only things. Everything else, you can press that all day. It doesn't do anything. It just looks really fancy. I'd be like, oh, I get it. Because I look at a cockpit and I go, holy cow, wow. I don't want to even know what these buttons do and why you need them and why you need to press them. And that seems way for something that seems like has an amazing success rate. Like just looking at all those buttons makes me go, come on. Somebody has got to have pushed one of these by accident. Right. But what if a pilot told you, no, I just need these four things and everything else is nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right, I was looking up, players from service academy, professional athletes from service academies. The article I'm looking at came out September of this year. So, it's relatively recent. They have 10 names on here.
Yeah, 10 names?
Yeah.
Of all time?
No, just who are currently in a professional system. So, in other words, most of these players are in the NFL. And then there's a couple players at the end who are minor league baseball.
Okay, so there's of the three service academies, there's only 10 between the three that are currently doing something in professional sports.
Yeah, and you mentioned two of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you mentioned Keenan Reynolds.
Keenan Reynolds.
And Alejandro Villanueva.
And Holland.
Now, again, I don't know if these guys are still on the team.
I don't know if Keenan Reynolds is. I don't think he is.
I know Villanueva is. You're very late. Not going to get rid of Andre the Giant's little son.
Oh, I looked him up. Keenan Reynolds is now with the Seattle Dragons of the XFL.
There you go.
Okay, good for him. That's pretty sweet.
But then you have Austin Cutting.
Austin Cutting?
Yep. He did make the 53-man roster. He's the Vikings' long snapper. See? There we go again. Long snapper.
That's interesting. All right. So, well, it's good for the service academy. I just didn't, I saw that news and it's one of those bits of information that I feel like has changed through my lifetime where I'm like, I thought they could do that. Oh, I guess they can't. Oh, they can again. Oh, now they can't. Oh, I guess they can again. Now they can't. It feels like it's one of those bits of information. Like I remember as a kid, David Robinson being on the cover of Sports Illustrated in his naval gear. And I remember this being a big deal. Like he was going to go play pro.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess that's the case.
current basketball players from Service Academy right now.
No, not right now. Not right now, anyway. All right, again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Coming up, I think it's about time we end one Christmas tradition. That's next, SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And if you need a last-minute gift like I do, O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. They have several options for gifts under $20, like a digital tire gauge. That's pretty neat. A 20-in-1 multi-tool. That's even better. Storage containers, even a universal backup camera, which I absolutely need. So you can get professional quality power torque tool sets starting at just $19.99. You can get gift cards. You can even buy gifts online and pick them up in the store. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Ron, I think it's time that there's a Christmas tradition that I think needs to start going away, and that is these Rankin-Bass Claymation Christmas specials.
What?
And here's why.
Oh,
okay?
Man.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest. What's the new hobby that everybody's doing every single year? Every single person thinks they have the original column when they write, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is way outdated.
It's yeah, racist.
Get it. I've heard this for 10 years, at least. Every time that thing comes on, there's somebody else who thinks they're breaking new ground by saying, yeah, Santa's mean, he yells at the elves for singing, and told Donner he should be ashamed of himself, and they only use him when they need him, they pretend that he's their friend. Yeah, we get it. Listen, it's time to just stop it, just end it. It's not even good. Let's be honest. When you watch it now, is it good? Land of the Misfit Toys, Yukon Cornelius, the Yeti thing, Hermie the Dentist. I mean, let's be honest. Is it real? It's from like 1965.
Come on. Hey, I'm a big Yukon Cornelius fan.
He has a gun that he doesn't use.
Against the Bumble.
He has a gun in his...
He has compassion.
But why carry the thing if you're not going to use it?
Intimidation.
It's time for it to go away.
But have you seen him wield the pickaxe?
He licks it. He licks the pickaxe.
He's Yasiel Puig of
gold miners. He is.
Or silver miners, depending on what you want to look at.
Heat miser and cold miser, you can keep those. I kind of dig those.
Who?
I still like them. I'm Mr. Heat Miser. I'm Mr. Sun. You don't know that one?
No.
The Year Without a Santa Claus?
No, I don't watch that one.
Oh, come on. It's the better one. Rudolph is terrible. It's time for it to go.
What about Santa Claus is Coming to Town?
Now, that's the one with the Winter Warlock.
Yes.
Where he's like, I don't have any more magic except these beans or whatever. And he feeds them to the reindeer and the reindeer fly. Right? And then there's Jessica, the pretty girl in town who's single and Kris Kringle needs a mate. And they get married in the snow forest with the animals. Yeah, I remember that one. That's not bad. I can take that one. But every year, I mean, I see column after column on this Rudolph thing, and I'm like, if I'm CBS, I just go, fine. You know what? Fine. We're shutting it down. Shut it down. We'll air something else. A Garfield Christmas. What's from the vault from the 80s? Happy Days Christmas? Let's get that. It's done with this Rudolph thing. I'm tired of seeing these columns saying this is terrible, because it is kind of terrible. The other day, I sat down to watch Charlie Brown. I couldn't even finish it. I'm like, this is terrible. It's kind of depressing. It's sad. I don't know. And are kids really watching it?
Probably not.
Are kids watching 1960s stop action claymation specials for Christmas?
Man.
Or are they watching some crazy YouTube video where it's got a lot of lights and
music? Oh no, they're watching YouTube
music.
Video. I will say this, my youngest, my 3-year-old, he is addicted to Frosty the Snowman.
That's pretty cool.
He goes
Is that
around.
The one where he goes, Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
That's cool. That's a cartoon.
Yes. But he goes around just singing Frosty the Snowman, and he doesn't know quite all the words. So it's rather awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty
as
cool.
He goes around singing the lyrics wrong.
I'm not saying
somebody actually took the time. When was this done? This was doesn't have a date. But somebody took the time to rank the 12 Rankin-Bass Christmas specials.
Okay, there is the weird one where it's like the shiny New Year, where the baby had the ears and the evil bird got him and then laughed himself to death. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth.
That didn't make the list. I'm sorry,
that's
Tony.
That's not so a good one.
You missed out on that one.
Yeah.
No, they do have...
They have 12 of them? Wow. I only see like three a year.
I know. It's the same three over and over again because I'm looking at some of these I've never even seen before.
Okay, go ahead.
They're all from the 70s. And I'm not going to go through the whole
70s? I think it's 60s.
Well, some of them are 70s, some of them are 60s. Okay. Now, some of them are cartoons. They're not just all claymation.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
So, like, the number one consensus was The Stingiest Man in Town.
Nope. Don't know that one.
Which was Walter Matthau gives voice to Scrooge in this animated version. Other noted voices include Tom Bosley.
Happy Days, Tom Bosley?
Well, is there any other one?
They're right. It's true. Why would I say that like that? Like, you're right. There isn't, like, it's not like there's 15 Tom Bosleys.
I mean, I'm sure there's another Tom Bosley, maybe even a Thomas Bosley out there in America.
Right, but not, notable, not a notable voice.
Number two was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Boo.
You that Grinch.
That's terrible.
Number three, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Number
that's
four.
That's a good one. That's the good one with the heat miser and the cold miser. That's the good one.
No, that Santa Claus is Coming to Town is with the Winter Warlock.
Oh, sorry. I made a mistake.
Number
that's the Winter
four,
Warlock.
Number four with a 90% Rotten Tomato rating is The Year Without a Santa Claus.
That's the heat miser, cold
that's
miser.
That's the one you were looking for.
That's right.
And then I'll just give you number five. Number five, Frosty the Snowman.
Okay, very good. Rankin-Bass must have made a fortune back in the day with these things.
Yeah, but they're gone, aren't they?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
So you know the one I like?
I gotta think that if you spent your entire career moving clay figurines one micro inch at a time and taking a picture, you probably had some issues as you got older with like your back.
Yeah.
Right? your mental health.
That's the one thing I've never quite understood how they got around that. I mean, when you saw Gumby. If you go back and you look at old Gumby cartoons,
yeah.
Somebody did that. Like, created, like, a 13 to 15 episode season. I mean, that must have taken forever.
Right.
To do.
When they came home from work, did their wives go, honey, how was work? Well, it was actually great. We did about 15 seconds of a scene where Rudolph was bouncing a ball on his nose. We got it so it bounced once and was in the air. Took us 7.5 hours.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, we got a lot of work to do tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow, we're going to have them walking three steps through the forest. Right? Like, oh my God, what a way to make a living. Good God.
Yeah.
I mean, just one picture at a time.
And what I love when I watch these movies, you can always tell where the artist was just like, forget it. He's just going to float three steps ahead.
Exactly. They just cut it right to like, stop this.
He needs to be in this spot now. I'm not going to have him just go inch by inch all the way through. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, like when they interviewed candidates for their job, did they say, can you do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again forever? I think I could. Great.
Do you think part of their training was you need to write this phrase 1,000 times?
Right. Right. Exactly. We want you to write this phrase one letter at a time. We want you to write this whole paragraph one letter, then the next one add the other letter, then the next one add the other letter until you have the entire book of War and Peace.
Yeah, because you want to know something. Because at the end of the, if I was to do that. Rudolph becomes two-legged.
That's exactly right. I'm cooking right through this thing.
No more four-legged beasts.
What a tough job. Maybe they had it in their contract when CBS bought it or whatever. They said, listen, this has to air for the next 100 years. You have absolutely no idea what we did to put this thing together. This needs to be aired. Our families need to be making residuals off this thing for the next century for the amount of work I put into this dumb special. Rankin-Bass, we love you, man. Every year you bring us the joy of Rudolph and Santa Claus. SB Nation Radio, the good, the bad, and the dumb, coming up next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the time for holiday cheer. It is the time for the jolly, jolly holidays. That's why we bring you the good on this Wednesday, a week before Christmas. Man, we can learn to feel good all day, every day. So what's the good of the day, Mr. Culver?
Well, before we get into the good, I have to tell you this one thing. It was bugging me. You and I just were talking about Rudolph.
Rudolph, yeah. Is this the special?
The special. The
right,
Claymation
okay.
special, and how frustrated we would be. And we even offered up a few scenarios towards, you know, we got Rudolph to take three steps. That was my entire day.
Right.
Would you like to venture a guess how long it took to create that half-hour special?
I don't even want to guess, so please let me know how long it took to create.
18 months.
Oh, my God! They took... That's... They 18 months it took to create that 40-something minute special?
Yeah.
When it's all said and done?
Yeah, 18 months, and they had 22 room-sized sets.
I think the worst of it is they probably filmed a lot more and then had to edit out a lot of stuff, right? Because they probably just filmed it, and they said, now we got to edit this down something reasonable.
How mad would you be?
And you're just like, I worked on a scene where Rudolph and Clarice escaped through this tunnel through a cave, and they just took out that whole thing. That took me 3.5 months to put together.
Yeah, I would be so mad.
Oh, my God.
18 months.
18
months. Now, I know
months.
Back in the day, like, if you were to do a cartoon, drawing it one frame at a time,
sure,
that took a long time. But I think it would be more frustrating when you have these puppets and you can't really manipulate them. As much.
Yeah, like an artist, like a cartoonist, they're doing their art, right? Like they're drawing their art. Like,
and
I'm not saying that
itself.
This isn't art, but I mean, you're moving a clay piece a fraction of an inch and then taking a picture, and then you're moving it another fraction of it. And then you've got to do it so the Rudolph moves a step, but maybe the other deer needs to react to something, and then you got to move. Yeah, No.
Yeah, it's 24 frames for 1 second of film.
Oh, my God. That's 24 movements and shot.
Yeah, for 1 second of film.
No, God.
Yeah. Anyway, I had to share that with you.
Well, thank you for looking that up, because now I'm thinking to myself, taking it off TV is probably a bad thing. It's kind of an insult to the hard work and dedication that they put 55 years ago into this
I think
piece.
It would make a lot of people upset, Tony.
Right, exactly.
The good of the day, the day is that the glass ceiling has been shattered.
All right, let's get to this.
A female player by the name, I should say a woman, if you will, by the name of Fallon Sherrock.
I like how you say a woman, if you will.
You know what? Yeah, I should rephrase that.
Okay, what did
Hashtag
she do?
Hashtag me too.
Right.
Fallon Sherrock makes history. She's the first woman to win World Darts Championship.
Wow, that's impressive.
And not only that, I'm going to play the sound for you. Tell me that this isn't, you don't get all the chills.
This is audio of a dart competition?
Yes.
This is where you're going to hear it, folks, right here. This is good stuff.
It's finished the match. Fallon Sherrock is one dart away from the second round of the World Championship. All he's got is a 60 bullseye. All he's got is a bullseye.
Smashes the glass ceiling and wins at the World Darts Championship. The first woman to beat a man at the World Darts Championship. Fallon Sherrock is that woman on the 17th of December 2019. She defeats Ted Evans to write her name into the history books.
Okay, how many people were in attendance of that World
it's
Championship?
A big crowd.
That sounded like a soccer match or a football game. Where were they?
I'm not entirely sure what arena they were in, but you watched the video of it. It's on Twitter. It's all over Twitter. You can see that there's a huge crowd behind them.
And they're watching, and she won.
And now, basically what happened, the guy, I can't remember how many points the guy needed. in the first shot, he hits, I think, 19 or 18 or something like that, right? Or, no, right. He hits a 19. And then they're saying he needs a bullseye to win on his last start. He just needs to get a bullseye. He barely misses the bullseye. So then she comes up, and she needs 36 to win. So she's aiming for the triple 18.
And
or
she
the
gets
double 18. I'm sorry, the double 18. And she misses the first one. That's where you hear the crowd go,
oh.
And then she nails it on the second throw, and the crowd goes wild.
It seems to me the crowd was pulling for her to break this glass ceiling.
Yes.
In the darts world. Is that true?
Yeah, I would say it is. It's, you know, I don't know about you. Every year, sometimes I come across it. They do have it televised, sometimes like on the NBC Sports Network. Other times I have to wait for the Ocho to come out.
Right.
Watching darts is fascinating. I'm sorry.
I really want to watch this now because I have a dartboard in my garage. I don't do it very well. I'd love to watch it done with the precision and accuracy of the professionals who can do this beyond words.
Watch
because I
a
don't
match.
I mean, listen, let me tell you something. I have a dartboard that has holes all over it. A lot of it's because of my kids, but I miss the whole thing sometimes. Like I'm like boom oops. Oops. These guys are like, what do I need? That little thing right there. Zip, zip, zip.
The other thing is, do you have holes around the dartboard?
Yeah, I do. Because my kids stink at darts. I just chuck them all over the place.
Is that from you? You're just throwing your kids under the
bus
like that?
No, my kids do that. My kids did that, and now I do participate. I think I have my thing too far back. But let's be honest, I stink at darts. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I want to say the people who can do it, Like, look, I need a bullseye? Great. Bullseye. I want to see that.
Honestly,
I've never seen
watch
it.
A match.
All right, I will.
Watch like a whole, like just a final round, a championship round. I mean, you can probably find it on YouTube.
I'm in.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I'm in. I am actually going to do that. I'm going to watch it.
It is literally one of those things, like whenever it comes on, I'll just throw it on. And I can't stop watching because, yeah, these guys, I almost want to say, you know, could you become a pitcher or a quarterback? Because it's so much precision that they're hitting, like, oh, you need a... You know, he needs to get 60 points, so he tries for the triple 20. He didn't get it. Now he's just going to do 20s all the way through, and he's just like, boom, boom, boom. It's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm
in. It's ridiculous.
I will absolutely do that. I'm going to watch that, because that sounds fascinating to me.
Yeah, and watch, you know, got to watch the female. She's the woman. She,
okay,
if you will.
What's the bad of the day, then?
The bad, okay, my bad and my dumb are interchangeable.
Okay, very good.
Okay?
I like when you do this.
I couldn't really decide which is which. Because I mean, both stories are bad and dumb. So I'll start with the one that was kind of making rounds a little bit yesterday. Ezekiel Elliott's dad.
Yeah, I saw this.
Is facing 21 charges over an exotic cat that attacked a neighbor's dog and was killed by police. Basically, what he had is an African wildcat. It's called a serval.
Yeah, serval. Yep,
serval. They look like a cat. They just have long I don't want to call them feathers, but they have like long hair coming out of the top of their ears. The tip of their
ears. And let me guess, he doesn't have a permit for this?
Oh, no, he doesn't have a permit
for this. Yeah, he illegally snuck this into the country?
Well, this is, here's just some of the breakdown of the, here's 9 charges that were filed against him, okay? Not all 21. 9 charges. The Ohio Department of Agriculture filed 9 charges against him. So failure to notify of dangerous wild animal escape. Falsification. Obstruction of official business, allowing dangerous wild animal to escape. I didn't know you can get busted for allowing a dangerous animal
to
escape.
Yeah, I don't know that one either.
Failure to notify law enforcement of dangerous wild animal escape. That one seems pretty easy.
That seems easy enough, yeah. I mean, seems you like you get pinched on that.
Call someone up, say, dude, my wild animal escaped.
And, I'll explain later, but this animal has escaped.
Failure to have dangerous wild animal signage at property entrance. Again, seems like something you could easily post up. Possession of a dangerous wild animal.
Okay, well, that's in and of itself lends itself to all the other charges that he had previously.
Failure to obtain dangerous wild animal permit. We know why he didn't get one, because it's illegal.
Right.
Failure to have dangerous wild animal signage on cage.
Well,
so again, another sign.
He broke the rule to not have it, and yet they're charging him for all the. The first rule he broke is he wasn't allowed to have the animal in the first place. All of the other ones are charges that don't really matter. Like if he had signage on the cage, it's irrelevant because he wasn't supposed to have the animal in the first place.
Yeah, you know what all the other charges are? They're just dollars.
Right.
It's like, oh, we're going to slap this charge on him. That's $100. Let's slap this one. That one might be $1,000.
And I get it, because like on a serious crime, if you break into a house and murder somebody, they do get you for breaking and entering as well as murder. So they do, no matter what, the larger crime doesn't negate the other crimes that you committed to cause the larger crime. So him not legal for having the animal still doesn't allow him to escape the charges of not having signage, allowing it to escape, not notifying it when it escapes, all the other little things that he really wasn't supposed to have the animal in the first place. Did Ezekiel Elliott buy this animal for him?
That I don't know, because his father, who is Stacy Al Muhammad, formerly Stacy Elliott, claims that it is not his.
Oh, it's the other, it's the neighbor's?
No, that he was watching it for a friend.
Oh, believe me, yeah. No. I don't buy that for a second. Sorry, that's not flying.
Yeah.
By the way, the
police have already determined that it's his cat.
Before we get to the dumb, but forgive my the naiveness of this question. How do you get an animal into this country illegally?
I don't know.
Like, well, I guess you can smuggle things in, but is there?
I guess once
is there
you
an
know
underground
someone,
business that this
you know there is.
Where someone's like, oh man, you wanna like, serve or
let's be real for a second, all right? How did Tyson get a tiger?
That's true, right? That's another thing.
Or
right?
How did Michael Jackson get chimpanzees?
Right. Like, hey man, you want a lion? Yeah, all right. I know a guy who knows a guy. They just ship them on trucks and they say that it's oatmeal, but it really
is
a lion back there.
On a smaller scale, I had a friend in college, when I was in college in California, who had a ferret. Okay? Ferrets are illegal in California. You can't purchase a ferret in California. So he just went to Nevada, picked it up, and just drove home with it.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, that's on an extreme smaller scale. I don't know how you would get a tiger or a lion, but you hear these stories all the time.
All the time. Rich people have zoos in their backyard.
Exactly.
They have like a giraffe. And I'm like, how do you get a giraffe?
How do you get a giraffe?
Like a real zoo with real people have a hard time getting these animals. Like with real people that know how to take care of them. A rich person, you can just get a giraffe, apparently. Walk them in. I got land, plop them in. All right, so what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, as I'm reading this story more and more, it definitely is a dumb. Mother Russia, in an effort to kind of improve employee productivity, have created a new toilet that tilts downwards, and it tilts downwards at about 13 degrees. And the idea behind it is that you can't sit there more than 4 to 5 minutes without just suddenly becoming annoying.
Real quick, without grossing people out, is that the best way to release? Is it the best stance?
I don't know. It's not.
It may not be.
It's not the best way. No, basically, I mean, if you ever...
So it's not the squatting position that seems to be the crazy... Like,
no,
your body was meant to do this.
It's a normal toilet seat that you're sitting on, but the seat itself is tilted at an angle that makes it uncomfortable. Like, it's putting... I guess it puts too much pressure on your legs to keep you up.
So it's basically like, get it over with and get out of here.
Exactly.
Like, get it done so you don't want to stand there forever.
Yeah, because I guess they have a problem with that.
I would hate this completely. I would hate this. It's, you know,
that's why I didn't know. I mean, that could be bad or dumb.
Yeah, true.
You know,
sometimes
you just, you know, you go to the bathroom. You just want to escape for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
You just want to break
get away
up
from everybody.
I mean,
all
especially
the
you're at home.
That's right.
What I loved the other day, I saw this meme that floated by. It's like, I'm old enough to remember going to the bathroom without my phone.
That's right.
You know, what did we do back then? But honestly, is that really the best way to increase employee productivity?
Probably not.
Have you ever had borscht? You might be in there for a while.
Yeah, you might be in there for a while. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Wednesday. Again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I hit a nerve with Big Mac on Twitter. What's up with you cracking on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's an all-time classic. Next, you'll be saying there's no Santa. I know. It's just, I'm tired of the columns every year that get written saying that this is awful and terrible and it promotes bullying. And every year people think they're coming up with something new. These columns have been written for like a decade over this one Christmas classic.
And now we know how long it took. You're never getting rid of that.
Yeah.
18 By the way, months.
Speaking of which, my father just texted me saying that a childhood friend of mine, Kevin Damaris, says he does that for a living. That
claymation? Claim,
well, he probably uses computers now and all this stuff fancy, but that's what he does. He does animation and I guess. I'll have to find out more details. I had no idea he did that for a living.
All right, here you go. You want another fun fact? Rudolph was only 4 inches tall.
So the whole, that's even worse.
Yeah, Rudolph is 4 inches tall. Santa was 8. The Bumble stood 14 inches.
Okay, that's even worse because now you're really talking about detail. Now you're really talking about having to really get in there and move it very slowly. What grueling work that must have been. Unbelievable. God bless the guys who did it so I could be happy at Christmas. But at the same time, God, that must have been a real labor of love. Like
Seriously. A
real labor of love.
And is it clay? Because Rudolph is kind of furry.
Yeah, it might be something completely different.
Makes it even worse.
All right, coming up next hour, we may have Brian Westbrook joining us, former Philadelphia Eagle running back. And we've got a good buy or sell coming up as well. Stick around. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.